And greetings from Finland, and you already heard the greetings from Russia. And I will start here from the 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in the word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And before I go on, I ask you, if you don't understand some words, let me know. I will try again. You know that this is not my mother language. Okay. And especially we will talk about something about this verse 12. Paul here asks Timothy, but same time also us all, to be example to the believers. And he mentioned here many things. He mentioned verse that be example in word. It means what we speak. Do we speak life? Do we speak death? And is our speech Christ-centered, or is from this world? There are all the time two possibilities, two decisions. But he encouraged Timothy and encouraged us that we learn to speak right. To right speak those things which pleases God. And we can see more this in Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, season it with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So it means God expects that there is salt what we speak. And his word is the salt, but we can also say more deeply, the whole anointing includes the salt. Because this Bible without the Spirit is only dead letters. But when the Spirit comes, anointing comes, it makes it a living word. And that's it's a real salt. And God's want that what we speak, it is seasoned with salt, heavenly salt. We and other place says that we are the salt of the earth. The whole congregation is the salt of the earth, but also we who are born again, our body is the temple of Holy Ghost, and we everyone are the salt here in the earth. And God has put this heavenly salt to our heart. So God wants that we speak right, and I can say we can speak saltly things, that there will be salt what we speak. And then we see one verse there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. But let your yes be yes, and your no No. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. What does this mean? But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. What does it speak us this Sunday morning? It speaks that there is no any possibility to conduct or walk after Jesus with compromising some things. There have to be no to the sin, no to this world, and yes to the godly things, yes to the word, yes to the heavenly salt, yes to the Holy Ghost, yes to Jesus, yes to God, yes to all heavenly things, and no everything which comes from the world, and everything which is rising up from the flesh, we have to say no. Flesh, you have to be quiet in the name of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we have to death our flesh by the Spirit. So we have to say in spirit to the flesh, no. Now you are going wrong. And Spirit talks to flesh, be quiet in the name of Jesus. So we have to say no to the world, no to the sin, and no to this world. And this is that victorious life where God has called us to work in the victory. And then there is somewhere in Proverbs, in Old Testament, the word that it says that under our tongue is the death and life. So it's very important to learn to speak life and say to the dead speaking, no. Say all deadly things, no. Like we say to the sin, no, we have to say also to all dead speaking, no. Sometimes I see Christians and I feel that they are believing right here in their heart, but their mouth is not talking according to that. And so there will be some problems. But if life is here in our heart, God's will is that it's also in our mouth. So we will live the victorious life. When we first receive Jesus, we believe in our heart, and then we talk with our mind, mouth, that Jesus Christ is my Lord. But it's more, we have to do it every day, and we have to speak life every day, all those godly things. And that's that victorious life what we have received when we're born again, and when we are growing in Christ. So Paul mentioned other thing to Timothy to be example in conduct. Do I say this right? Mm-hmm. Okay. It means how we walk after Jesus, how we follow Jesus. And God's expectation through Paul to Timothy was that he is living example life to other Christians, but also to those who are outside of the kingdom of God. But it talks also to us today that God expects that we are living example life, that our conduct is right before the Lord. And we see some from this in 1 Peter, verse chapter, and verse 15. 1 Peter, chapter 1, and verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So God asks us to be holy in all our conduct, all our ways to be holy when we walk after Jesus, when we follow Jesus. Yes. Come holy in all your conduct. This is like the challenge for us, everybody, this day and tomorrow and every day which we are living here in the earth, that come more and more holy. I can't say that there is some level which we receive and then we all are holy. I think there are always higher level where God is calling us. Because Paul had saw how he was preaching the gospel, and new churches were founded and dead were raised up, and many godly things and miracles happened. But still he said that I'm pointing there, that perfect one. I haven't yet reached it, but I can say with my own words, I'm on my way to meet Jesus and meet the holiness more. So it means us that there is not just a level which we have to reach. There is always time to go more and more up in holiness. Whole our life here in the earth is God's will that we grow in holiness more and more. And it means that we increase, that God's holiness is growing in us. So become less in our own understanding, on things, and God will grow in us. And then the James talks something also this same area. It's chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him so by God, by good conduct, that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil things are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first poor, then peaceable, gently, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we have to seek that wisdom which comes above. There is also the wisdom from this world, but it does not build us up. We can have much knowledge, but it's not already that wisdom what this word means. Godly wisdom is poor and it comes there above. It is a question about the heavenly wisdom which he will give us. And this verse says, this 13, that let him so by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. So it means that our works are talking what we really are in Christ. What is our relationship with Christ? And also, it's same thing to those people who are outside of the kingdom. Somebody says that our life is the fifth gospel. How we live, if it is the fifth gospel, it testifies how Christ is living in us. Jesus says there in John 15 that he is true vine and we are branches. He don't say that he is just like the body of this tree and we are the branches. He is that whole vine. It means it includes also us. In him we can bear that fruit, that truly, truly fruit. And that fruit is hanging there on those branches in that vine tree. And if you see your life and there are close you living some people who know you, maybe on working place or some other places, they come to test you. They come there to the branch of vineyard, to the vine tree, to come there to that branch, and they come to test that fruit you have. They test it, is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? So it means very much how much our life has testimony about Christ Jesus. Old time when they were growing up, the vine trees there in Israel, if the branch of the vine tree was falling down to the earth, the vine dresser pushed the stone or piece of the rock under the branch that it will not touch the earth. What's the problem if the branch of the vine tree touch the earth? It goes down and touches the earth, and then it makes its own roots, and then it comes up again. But it means that there is not any more coming that water to that branch directly from that main tree. It starts to make its own fruit, and there is still some fruit when it vine branch go down and take its own root and comes up again. There is still some fruit. But what is problem if the branch go down and touch the earth and make own roots and come up? The problem is that it makes bitter fruit. It's bad taste fruit. And what does it mean spiritually? If the spirit from this world come our heart, or we start to live fleshly life, there will still be left some fruit, but it's bad taste. And somebody comes to test and say, oh, that's bad. But what is if it's good fruit? It means they test and they repent. They say, this kingdom is good. This is wonderful thing, and they will repent. But if there is bitterness and there is bad fruit, they will not repent. So God's word tells us to separate from this world. Go on this holy way and never turn our ways back. You remember the Lord, how he was living there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham was praying for his relative that God will have mercy for Lot and his wife. And then came the angels, pick up them out there. They did not have any more power to come there out by their own power, but because of Abraham's prayers, God sent angels to pick them out. But what was the problem of the wife of Lot? She did a terrible mistake. She turned her ways back there to Sodom and Gomorrah. And God had said to him that get there out and you are not let to see back. But she did a mistake. And then he came like the salt monument. I can see my own words. I'm sorry, I don't have all words. And Lot had to go on his way after that alone. He lost his wife because his wife did a bad mistake. He turned back. It's same thing our life. We can't turn back there into this world. It's serious and it's terrible because there is the death. And if we see the Israel people, how they leave it there in the wilderness, they were there under the trial, and then they start to cry to the Moses and to the elders of the Israel, let's take us back to the Egypt. We want to test again those nice soup there and all those nice things. But I think that there was something wrong in their memory. They remember it just that good wood what they had there in Egypt. But they had lost their memory. They did not remember that they were doing their hard work. They had to do those bricks, pieces of bricks, and then there was the Vara who hit them all the time. So they did not remember that. They only remember that good wood what there was. They did not remember that persecution what they had there under the hand of Pharaoh. And the same thing can happen us if we don't take care and take heed of our conduct with our walk with Jesus. So this all thing speaks us today also. So it means never back to the Egypt. Go right on this heavenly way. It's narrow way, but it is possible to go on with Jesus this narrow way. Amen. After the gate. Then Paul says to Timothy the third thing, be example in love. Be example in love. And I think this is most important thing for us Christians to conduct in love, walk in love, and follow Jesus in love. And love is others with heavenly love. I can say that this heavenly love is that agape love. There is also the fleshly love, but it does not please the God. We see from the New Testament text when the daughter of the Jairus had death, and all those ladies were crying there because the daughter had death. But then Jesus came there and he cast out all those people there, and he take only those disciples with him who were close him, and then he raised that daughter from the dead. There was some love which raised up from the flesh, and it doesn't please Jesus, and he cast them out, and then he made a miracle. So we have to seek this agape love, this heavenly love. That's that truly real love. And I don't know how you understand the word worst love. It was the worst love when we gave our life to Jesus. Maybe everyone remember how we were burning that first love when we received Jesus. But I will say it's much more. We could have it every time, every day. We not just had it in back our life when we received Jesus. Of course there was first love, but we could have it also today. And I read here from the Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So we see here that there in the church of Ephesus there was quite right teaching, and they could mention who are the false apostles, and even they had the right doctrine, I think so. But then they fall because they did not have the first love. So it means that we can know much things about God. We could have much knowledge, but still there is this danger that we left, believed as this first love. Yes. And what does it mean that Jesus said through John in Revelation to Church of Ephesus that I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. It means if there is lampstand, then it means there is also the lamp. They are together, lampstand and lamp in the lampstand. And what it means in the New Testament church, if God removes the lampstand from its place, I think it means very much that there is not any more this heavenly salt. There is not any more anointed word. There is not any more using of the gift of spirits in love. There might be some left, but there is not things going right. If there is the lampstand on its right place in the New Testament church, there is love, there is lovely teaching, and all godly things are in right order. But if God removes it, then I can say there is confusion. And we see there somewhere there in the Old Testament text, I don't turn there because I want short this time, you know, this takes time to speak in English to you. See some example from the King Saul's life. Saul received the anointing and God appointed him to be the first king of Israel. But then there came some problem in his life. He made some sacrifice wrong way, and God's anger came upon him, and Prophet Samuel came to say to him that you can't anymore to be the king of Israel. And then God sent the devil's spirit to Saul's life. It is big change. First there was the anointing from the God to be the king. But because of the disobedience, there came the devil's spirit. And then he was... God sent David there to King's palace to singing and playing the praising songs there that old king could live even. But then Saul was angry to David. And one day he wanted to kill David. Was it spuke or what is that word? He took that what he hit to spear. Yeah, he took the spear and tried to kill the David. And what the word says in that verse in the Bible, King Saul was prophesying and casting the spear against David. What was that spirit? What was that time prophesying there? It was the spirit of murder. There was not the spirit speaking life. There is the deadly prophecy speaking death against David, who was anointed by God. And these things sometimes happen in the New Testament church, that they start to raise up the spirit of murder. We have some teaching about that also in New Testament church, that we need not to be like the Cain who killed Abel. Abel. But we have to be like the Jesus. Love each others. And first love is also it that we in our own life put every our decision and all our things, we put Jesus to the first place. When you are making much bigger decision you have to do, I have to say much more, Lord, you have to seek. And so you have to ask from the Jesus that how I process this thing, how I do this in my life. That's also first love, that we put the Jesus in our life to the, I can say, here in the temple, to the first seat. I was one church a few months ago, and there was a lady who was playing with the guitar, the praising songs. And suddenly, he was first sitting there in the cell in the front, but suddenly he left the place and went there to back to the congregation to play. And I felt in spirit that she left the place to the King Jesus. He wanted to put the Jesus to first place. I think this he felt in his spirit that people are seeing him, seeing her, and seeing what she is doing. And then he went away there backside and put only there to empty chair. And then the people start to praise the King Jesus. They not anymore see the man, they saw the living God. That's first love, that we put Jesus to the first place in our life. all our decision. We ask Jesus, what I do with this thing in my life. Then there is the voting, which Paul says to Timothy, be example in spirit. Example in spirit. Maybe it means many things, but it means that we have to live in spirit, to be open to the Holy Ghost and move in spirit and learn to do things right, how the Spirit of God tells us, how He guides us. Many times we expect that God gives us the prophecy or gives us the vision. But I think that most important thing that we have, that our heart here inside testifies which is right, which is wrong. I think it's the worst thing that we hear, we know in our heart what is right, what is wrong, that we learn to do things right. Of course, God gives us prophecies and gives us visions and many other things through the Spirit. But worst thing how He leads us is the, I can call it the inner testimony in our heart. And we will hear and know here inside, in inner man, what God's will is. Even there is no word, we know it. This is right, this is wrong, I have to do it this way. I think this is that what Paul says in spirit. But of course it means it that our spirit is clean. That there is His holiness and there is not any confusion. If there are worldly things, there is coming to other spirit. Paul was writing to Church of Galatians that so soon you receive the other spirit. They received the wrong spirit. And so he had to pray, Paul had to pray for them that they again open for the godly things break the power of that wrong spirit. This might be what it means to be example in spirit. Then there is a fifth thing, be example in faith. And word says that faith comes hearing the word of Christ. When we became believers, we had so much faith that we could repent. But when we are growing, so we are receiving more faith through the word of Christ. And so it means God's will is that our faith is growing. It's increasing all the time. Yesterday we had this much faith. Maybe tomorrow we have this much. That we are growing. And good example about faith is the Joshua and Caleb. Word says that they had other spirit. They had the spirit of faith. And then they said, we go and possess the land. They had faith spirit. They did not see those bad things there in that land what they're going to possess. They saw the word of God and then they went to possess the land. But that old generation fall down there in the wilderness because they did not have this faith spirit. They were crumbling against the living God. So we have to hear more the word of Christ, and we have to when we grow, have the more and more the works of faith. The faith without works is dead, says the Bible. If we really have the faith, there also have to be the works of the faith. If we say that we have the faith and we do not have the work, we really do not have the faith. Do you understand me? So if we say we have to faith, we have to put into the practice. And when we put our faith, what we have, put it in the practice, God will increase our faith. I can say by the heavenly way. And then here is the last thing where Paul says to Timothy, be example in purity. In purity. It means to live pure life. And many times during the Old Testament days, when the Israel was going to meet the enemy, the leader said to the congregation that sanctify yourself. Tomorrow we are going to fight against our enemy. And I will say this according to the spirit of New Testament, when you have to fight against the devil, there might be hard fight sometimes. It's better to sanctify yourself first, and me also myself, when I start to fight against the devil. And purity is also that we put all worldly thing out, and we learn to talk right, which I say in the beginning. It's many things, but God has called us to live poor life. I can't say it exactly in English, but Jesus was saying there that speech of mountain, when he was speaking, that he said that they are poor-hearted people are very happy. If there is they are blessed. If you have poor heart, we are blessed, we are happy. And I think that it real joy is also there where people are poor. Where is His holiness? Where is purity? There is also the joy of the Lord. And there all things will go right. And then these are these things what Paul said to Timothy. And then we will see some things from John chapter 6. Because if we need some more purity, or if we have any kind of sin problem, or any kind of worldly things, our life, God has solved that problem already in the cross of the Calvary. And we read from the John chapter 6, verse 53. John chapter 6, 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Many times we think when we read these verses, maybe we think communion in this place. Of course, we can think communion, but I want to say this is much more what Jesus says here. Because Jesus himself is living Word. Word came in flesh here when Jesus was here in the earth, was teaching his disciples. The Word came flesh. And his Word, when we eat his Word, in fact, we are eating his flesh. We are eating Jesus. We not only eat the communion bread, but we have to eat the whole bread, whole word of God. And we have to receive all word of God. We can't take any pages out of our Bible. I know that it happens our everybody's life and read the Bible that there come some verses which does not please us. And it tests our flesh that do I repent, do I do according to that, or do I do according my own will? is test for us. So that this is the eating of flesh of Jesus Christ. What is then to drink his blood? Of course we drink his blood there is a picture there in when we have communion, but it's more. I even can ask the question, when does you drink the blood of Jesus? Or I can do it to myself, when do I drink the blood of Jesus? And what understanding I have, we drink blood of Jesus every time when we have done sin and we repent. When we repent, we drink the blood, and this blood cleans us all sin.
Praise the Lord.
I hope and I want to believe that we drink, that we eat his flesh often, but also that we drink his blood often. That's real purity. And if you say we don't have sin, we make God false, says the son somewhere in his letter. But God is faithful. And his will is that we, if we do something our life wrong, or if we do sin, his will is that we drink the blood of Jesus Christ. And it cleans all sin. But I think that it's more deeper just to drink blood when you have sin. If God gives you mercy to receive his healing power today here in this meeting, that's also to bring blood, and is also to eat his word. Because these all things are in spirit. Here is the written things, but they all are in practice, they all are in spirit. If you meet Jesus, you receive your healing. That time you eat his flesh and drink his blood. Because his blood was shed also that we will receive healing. And any other thing you need you in your life, or I need in my life, I have to eat his flesh, eat his word, and drink the blood. And that's our life. And that's the real meaning in communion, that when we have communion, we remember Jesus there on the Calvary. Every time when I am there in the communion meeting, I feel very strongly that it puts back me to the foundation where I started my Christian life. It brings me back again to the beside of the cross of Jesus Christ. And I think it's a deep meaning of communion, that we remembrance his death, and remember us that his death is our life. That's the real life what we have in spirit, his death. Because he died there on the Calvary, we could live blessed life with him here in the earth. And I think this is all what I want to say to you today. This Paul's word here, which I read from the First Timothy chapter 4. I want to read them here into the end again, and then I will quite soon finish. That we remember us what we really were speaking. This is verse Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. And this was the verse through which I wanted to share with my English something to you this morning service. And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come to your holy presence, and we thank this privilege to be here in Veikko this time. And Lord, I ask, bless all these Christians you have sent this meeting. Bless all family. Bless all marriage, Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, you see all those living conditions where your people are living today, this time. Lord, I ask, help them, all these things where they need help today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's all children also here, Lord. With your mercy, with your love. Hallelujah. Help us all increase all these things what I read here, what the Paul wrote to the brother Timothy. Lord, help us to receive this verse today and understand the meaning today, hallelujah. That we could live example life with Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. That other Christians can see that we really follow Jesus, but also that the people lift the name Jesus upon all other names in this situation here, hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. And Lord, if we have made sin, we ask that the blood of Jesus cleans us all sin, and we ask that we can drink this blood more and more. And Lord, you see if here's somebody who is sick, who needs bodily healing, we ask this person can eat your flesh and drink your blood, hallelujah. This time, I thank there is healing power in your blood, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. Father, we resist all sickness, all illnesses, all disease, we resist them this time, and we bound the power of those, and we command them to go in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we thank there in somebody's right knee is the healing power, and we thank in the blood of Jesus is healing for that knee in the name of Jesus. Let that knee, right knee, come well this time, this hour, this moment, in the name of Jesus we pray, hallelujah. And we thank God you touch the whole right wood this time, hallelujah. Let there be the healing power for the whole wood in the name of Jesus we pray, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Corazanda volari candidi crow descendi. All glory in him. And about to see you, somebody's throne, there is the problem, and we command this pain to be quiet, and we receive the healing power in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank your holy blood. Lord, we thank you. Let this person drink your blood this hour, this moment, just this second, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we receive healing for throne. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Lord, we thank your healing power for somebody's eyes, hallelujah. All problems will be in the eyes. We proclaim victory. We thank your holy blood. And command those eyes, let them be healed in the name of Jesus this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift your holy name upon all other names. Hallelujah. 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 We thank your love. We thank your holiness, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you. Pour out your spirit upon all flesh during these last days. Hallelujah. Bless, Lord, everything you sent this time. Hallelujah. 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 We thank somebody's right wrist there will be the power of God. And we thank healing for that hand. Healing for that wrist in the name of Jesus. And we thank healing for the shoulder, right shoulder in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank your holy blood will touch that hold shoulder this time in the name of Jesus. Let there be the power of that right shoulder, right hand, like the power of the youth. Let it come again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All weakness get out from that hand and it will be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank your love, Lord God. We thank your holy presence. We thank your holy blood, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank there in somebody's stomach that you touch with your healing power, that this person can drink your blood this morning in the name of Jesus. Let the stomach be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. As now we pray and we receive and we give all glory to the living God. All glory to the Lamb which is sitting there on the heavenly throne. Hallelujah. 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 And Lord, I ask, bless everybody to succeed
to win souls from the earth into your kingdom. Hallelujah. Lord, I ask, anoint everybody, bless everybody, open hearts to receive more gifts, more power, more anointing to do work for the Lord. Hallelujah. Because time is short and King is coming. Bless this congregation. Help, Lord, this congregation increase by your grace, Lord. Lord, bring here more people. Hallelujah. Bring with your mercy, your grace. Hallelujah. 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 And Lord, we lift all relatives, our relatives and all neighbors to your holy presence. And we break all devil spirits and power in their life and talk victory. And we ask, Lord, open their hearts to receive mighty salvation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We thank that our relatives and our neighbors will get saved in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we thank it's your work, Lord. What is impossible for man is possible for living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And for somebody's heart, God's Spirit says, this is a day that Lord has made. This day just for you. Hallelujah. And this is the blessed day in your life. Hallelujah. 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 There has been many problems in your life. But the Spirit of God says that the yoke will be broken by anointing just now. All yoke be broken in the name of Jesus by anointing. And we talk to that mountain of the problems to go, to remove its place and go into the sea. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. And there will be freedom and there will be fresh anointing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are free to do work for the Lord. Hallelujah. Because those problems are back you life. And Jesus calls you in front and problems are back you. Hallelujah. And you need not anymore worry them because the mountain has been removed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Be blessed, be strong, and be active because time is short and King is coming. Amen.